From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Venezuela accuses Colombia of attempting terrorist sea invasion. Fresh food producers are starting to move into the realm of digital business. Now the news in detail. The Venezuelan government has said it foiled an attempted sea incursion by terrorist mercenaries from Colombia. In a televised address, Interior Minister Nestor Rivero said the group arrived on speedboats at the coastal state of La Guaira early on Sunday. President Nicolas Maduro often accuses adversary of attempting to overthrow him with the backing of the U.S. Venezuela's opposition dismissed the allegations, saying the apparent incursion was staged. Colombia described the government's assertion as unfounded. Venezuela broke off diplomatic relations with Colombia last year. Russia will launch its first Arctica-M satellite for monitoring the Arctic climate and environment at the end of the year. General Director of the Lofoten Aerospace Company Vladimir Kolmikov said. He added the second Arctica-M satellite is still under development and will be launched in 2023. In February, a space industry source said that the launch of the first Arctica-M satellite from the Baikonur Space Center was planned for 9 December 2020. According to the source, the satellite will be launched using a Soyuz 2-1B carrier rocket with a frigate booster. Russia's Arctica-M remote sensing and emergency communication satellites will gather meteorological data in the polar regions of the Earth, which will allow improving weather forecasts and will enable scientists to better study climate change. Rail union leaders have written to British Prime Minister Boris Johnson with severe concerns over plans to increase train services. The country's Transport Secretary Grant Shapps told the BBC on Sunday that more buses and trains would run as part of a staggered approach to easing the lockdown. The letter says it is completely unacceptable to put passengers and rail staff at risk. The government says workers should still stay at home where possible. The rail system has been carrying key workers and freight around the country since the current restrictions were put in place, however, ensuring the network is ready to respond to a change in demand when these are lifted. A new drug developed by UK scientists to treat COVID-19 patients is being trialed at University Hospital Southampton. Developed by the United Kingdom biotech company Synergen, it uses a protein called interferon beta, which human bodies produce when get a viral infection. Initial results from the trial are expected by the end of June. There are currently few effective treatments for coronavirus, with doctors relying on patients' immune systems. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Producers of fresh food producing milk, meat, and beef meatballs are starting to shift to the realm of digital business amid the COVID-19 pandemic that is encouraging people to use more e-commerce services. Commercial Director of PT Great Giant Livestock, Dayu Aryasintawati in Jakarta on Sunday said, the company is one of the producers of fresh food that has turned to meet the needs of consumers through online services, as well as wanting to prove that e-commerce is promising. Changing consumer patterns is a challenge, especially for fresh products such as meat, meatballs, and milk that do not use preservatives and must be stored frozen and chilled to keep them cool and in the best condition for consumers. This is a business challenge when a pandemic occurs. Therefore, he expands the business because he wants to meet the needs of consumers who are now turning more to e-commerce. Products will be shipped with a Gojek or Grab service for same-day service delivery so that consumers get the product on the same day as the order. The domestic Arabic industry hopes for a policy of applying safeguards for Indian products. That's because starting from last April, the price of gas in India was very cheap or fell to $2.5 per million British thermal units or MMBTU. Chairperson of the Various Ceramics Association, Asaki Edi Suyanto in Jakarta on Sunday, May 3rd said, if it is not subject to safeguards, then local products will be difficult and unable to compete. In addition to India, Eddie also hopes that the stimulus released during the pandemic conditions can reduce imports of ceramic products from China and Vietnam. Safeguard is a security measure. This action is carried out by the government of the importing country to prevent the threat of serious losses to the domestic industry. Based on data from the Central Statistics Agency, to the total ceramic imports in the January to February 2020 period increased 9% compared to the same period last year, while the number of ceramic imports from India after last year increased 12 times in the first 2 months of this year, surged 145%. The decline in gas prices will greatly help to save the ceramic industry and accelerate the recovery of the ceramic industry in the third quarter in 2020. The last item. Mining Advocacy Network Coordinator Merah Johansyah Ismail on Sunday's press conference suspects that the drafting of the much-debated work of an omnibus bill has been driven by the interests of coal and mineral corporations. Ismail claims that there are 7 coal and mineral corporations that control 60-70% of Indonesia's national coal production. According to him, the permits of 3 of corporations are about to expire by the end of this year. He suspects that the coal and mineral corporations have interest in the cluster overseeing mining within the Omnibus Bill under Article 169A on automatic permit extension without having to undergo the process of handing back permits to the government and an auction. The coal and mining law controls this by requiring corporations to hand back the permits to the government as it expires. Coal corporations must also adjust their mining areas to the maximum extent overseen under the same law, which is 15,000 hectares. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is National Education Amid COVID-19 Pandemic. While listeners, since the COVID-19 pandemic struck Indonesia at the end of March 2020, the government has appealed to the community to limit activities outside the home by carrying out learning, working, and worshipping activities at home. The home study policy was supported by the Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture with the issuance of Circular No. 4, 2020, which contained the implementation of educational policy in the emergency period of the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. The Minister of Education and Culture also applies a temporary school closure policy and moves the teaching and learning process from school to home. With this policy, the entire teaching and learning process from teachers to students is done online. For some Indonesian people, especially in urban areas, accessing the internet is not difficult. The internet has become a part of people's lives in this country. Recent research data from the Hosit Content Management Service and the social media marketing agency We Are Social, in a report titled Digital 2020, says that currently 64% of the total population in Indonesia has been connected to the internet. However, what about people who live in the rural or border areas who cannot access the internet because of the lack of availability of networks and limited funds? Difficulties in organizing online learning activities were compared by Titis Kartikawati, a teacher in Sangga, West Kalimantan, during a virtual press conference entitled Inspirations of Education Fighters During the Pandemic Period, COVID-19 in Jakarta on Saturday. She said that not all regions in Sangau have internet networks because there are so many blind spots in the area. Besides, most parents work as farmers or vegetable traders, so buying internet quota is not their priority. Teaching and learning activities during COVID-19 pandemic are not only the responsibility of the Minister of Education and Culture, teachers and parents, but also the responsibility of all levels of Indonesian society, including the media. Public television, TV and radio are a right, for example, are media that participate in broadcasting learning programs for students at home. This method helps teachers in delivering subject matter to students, especially for those living in remote areas who do not have. Hopefully, the obstacle encountered in carrying out teaching and learning activities will not dampen the enthusiasm of teachers and students and parents during the COVID-19 pandemic. In any case, both during the pandemic and normal condition, teaching and learning activities must still be carried out. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter. But if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, meet again with me Putri in our regular program Today in History, our Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on May 4, 1945, when Nazi was dismissed. On May 4, 1945, German Nationalist Social Party Nazi was officially dismissed. The party began to be in power in Germany in 1932, and implemented dictatorship, violence, and repression in the government. Pioneer of the party was Germany Labour Party. Not long time after, a veteran of World War I, Adolf Hitler, joined in the party in October 1920, and the party changed its name to be Nazi Party. In 1921, Hitler succeeded to take over the leadership in Nazi Party because of his great ability in oration. After Germany's defeat in World War II, Nazi Party was dismissed and declared as a prohibited organization. Next event is that in 1982, the general election of House Representative and Regional House of Representative took place in Indonesia. General election of House of Representative and Regional House of Representative 1982 was conducted simultaneously on May 4, 1982 to elect members of the House of Representative and Regional House of Representative Level 1 of Province or Level 2 of Regency Municipality throughout Indonesia for period 1982 to 1987. The general election was participated in by two political parties and one functional groups, namely United Development Party, functional groups, and Indonesian Democratic Party. The winner of the majority of the results of this general election was functional groups. The last event is that in 2000, earthquake hit Banggai Regency, Central Sulawesi. On May 4, 2000, an earthquake measuring 7.5 Richter scale hit Banggai Regency, Central Sulawesi, devastating dozens of houses and governmental office buildings as well as worship houses. Even asphalt road as long as 200 meters to Bubung Airport was cracked as wide as 30 to 45 centimeters. The earthquake also caused tsunami with 3 meters high at Totikum District. Casualties in the disaster reached 46 people and hundreds of people injured. And listener, that was Today in History.
Ku sadari ku jauh darimu, seharusnya ku jalani perintahmu. Terlambatkah ku bertobat di ujung waktu? Di atas sajadah ku bersujud mohon padamu. Tuhan, panjangkanlah umurku agar ku bisa menebus semua dosaku. Ku mohon kuatkan imanku hingga nafas terakhirku kembali padamu. Ku sadari ku jauh darimu, seharusnya ku jalani perintahmu. Terlambatkah ku bertobat di ujung waktu? Di atas sajadah ku bersujud mohon padamu. Tuhan panjangkanlah umurku agar ku bisa menebus semua dosaku. Ku mohon kuatkan imanku hingga nafas terakhirku kembali padamu.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is President Joko Widodo is optimistic the economy will recover in 2021. While listener President Joko Widodo says he is optimistic that 2021 will be a momentum for economic recovery after COVID-19 pandemic struck Indonesia. Therefore, he asks regional governments to prepare scenarios for recovery of the sectors worst affected. When opening the 2020 National Development Planning Conference through a video conference on Thursday, President Joko Widodo asked governors, regions, mayors, and heads of the Regional Development Planning Agency to identify in detail the impact of COVID-19 in their respective regions. He also requested the regional governments to be able to carefully sort out the sectors affected by COVID-19, starting from those most affected, survived, and sectors that can actually take the opportunities that exist. According to the president, there are some sectors that suffer loss, such as micro, small, and medium enterprises, tourism, construction, and transportation sectors. Even so, he saw that there are also several sectors that survive and could continue to move, such as the textile, chemical, pharmaceutical, medical devices, food and beverage, communication services, and logistics sectors. Meanwhile, to prevent mass layoffs, the president said the government has prepared an economic stimulus package program to survive and prevent layoffs, such as tax incentives, credit restructuring, and relaxation of raw material imports. However, he cautions the micro businesses and ultra-micro businesses must also be helped. According to him, economic stimulus must reach the informal sector such as street vendors, snack sellers, and small shops. He also revealed that the number of business operators is very large. According to data of the National Development Planning Agency, the figure reaches 40 million with a large workforce. He added that amid COVID-19 pandemic situation, the government has reallocated and refocused the budget into three priorities, namely health, social safety net, and stimulus priorities for economic recovery. President Joko Widodo perceived that indeed there is no certainty that the COVID-19 pandemic will come to an end in the world. However, the government continues to prepare various policy scenarios to anticipate from the mild to the most severe impact of COVID-19 during the COVID-19 pandemic situation. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Dunia ini, panggung sandiwara, ceritanya udah berubah. Kisah Mahabharata atau tragedi dari Yunani.
RRI Voice Office, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Enggang Dance in East Kalimantan. Stay tuned. Enggang Dance is a traditional dance of Dayak Kenyah tribe in East Kalimantan. The dance is a must to be performed in every traditional ceremony of Dayak Kenyah tribe. It describes daily life of hornbill bird. According to the belief of Dayak Kenyah people, their ancestor came from the sky and went down to the earth like hornbill bird. Thereby, Dayak Kenyah people are very respectful and they also honor the hornbill. Nowadays, the dance is often performed to welcome the honored guests. Enggang dance is performed by young girls of Dayak Kenyah tribe. When dancing, they wear some kinds of ornament on hornbill on their heads and also big earrings. They also hold the feathers of the bird's horn. Their dance is being accompanied by traditional music namely sampe, gendang, and gong. Sampe is Dayak's typical string instrument. Enggang dance movement uses basic movement of hornbill. The movement of the dance consists of three main movements, namely nganjat, ngasai, and porak barik. Nganjat is the main or typical movement of Dayak dance, which looks like ivory hornbill. The movement symbolizes beautiful movement of the dancers. Ngasai movement is like hornbill, which is flying. And porak barik is a basic movement as the act of migration. On the progress, there is a new creation of enggang dance, but the creation cannot be separated from its meaning and also philosophy, which contains in enggang dance. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring enggang dance from East Kalimantan. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Pagi telah pergi, mentari tak bersinar lagi. Entah sampai kapan ku mengingat tentang dirimu. Ku hanya diam menggenggam menahan segala kerinduan, memanggil namamu setiap malam. Ingin engkau datang dan hadir di mimpiku. Rindu dan waktu kan menjawab pertemuan ku dan I'm not afraid to die.
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Selamat siang, which means good afternoon. Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means can I help you. Memesan, which means to order. Kamar, which means room. Melalui, which means through. Aplikasi, which means application. Atas nama siapa, which means for whom. Pinjam, which means to borrow. Paspor, which means passport. Anda, which means you. Nomor 510, which means number 510. Kunci, which means key. Listener to us about the guest need. The hotel receptionist usually says, ada yang bisa saya bantu? When someone asks you such expression, you can answer by saying your need or your purpose. For example, saya sudah memesan kamar melalui aplikasi. Or in English, I have ordered a room by application. In Indonesian language, to mention possessive words, the structure is noun. For example, paspor or passport, kamar or room, kunci or key, then followed by pronouns or the name. For example, paspor saya, which means my passport, paspor Anda, which means your passport, paspor dia, which means his or her passport, kamar saya, which means my room, kamar Anda, which means your room, kamar dia, which means his or her room. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Halo.
Halo Eni, apa kabar?
Baik, kamu?
Aku juga baik. Aku sudah tiba di Jogja tadi siang loh.
Oh ya?
Iya.
Selamat datang di Jogja. Kamu menginap di mana?
Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara.
Listener, foreigners usually have to show their passport when register themselves at hotel, while the local tourists only show ID card, which also called identity card or KTP. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Seperti ini pada akhirnya, semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersama nyata hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. 1001 cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Tak bisa untuk teruskan, dunia kita berbeda. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a Kroncong song entitled Tugu Monas. This Kroncong song tells about one of the icons of Indonesian state capital, Jakarta, namely National Monument, or famously called Monas. Monas is a 132 meters high commemoration monument which was built to remember the struggle of Indonesian people to seize independence from colonial. Monas was built under the order of President Sukarno in 1961. The monument was crowned by flames which were coated by gold and symbolize the spirit of a fiery struggle. Monas is located at Medan Merdeka Barat Square in Central Jakarta. Listener, let's listen to Klana Hermawan to present the Kroncong song Tugu Monas. Enjoy the song.
Bermanik bunga indah,
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Saling bersandar ke arah mata angin berbeda. Kau menunggu datangnya malam saat ku menanti fajar. Sudah coba berbagai cara agar kita tetap bersama. tersisa dari kisah ini hanya kau takut ku hilang. Perdebatan apapun menuju kata pisah. Jangan paksakan genggamanmu. Izinkan aku pergi dulu. Yang berubah hanya tak lagi ku milikmu. Kau masih bisa melihatku. Kau harus percaya ku tetap teman baikmu. Oh, oh. Sudah coba berbagai cara agar kita tetap bersama. Yang tersisa dari
well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safirri Adela. See you on the next English program.